Chris.
Hey, Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show is
749-1444.
Tonight we're going to talk to the guy who invented the dune buggy, Bruce Myers. We're talking to him in California somewhere.
Bruce, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
When did you invent the dune buggy?
Well, that's a little bit of a overstatement. In that...
That's what we specialize in. This is talk radio, remember.
Well, the dune buggy has been around since about 1930.
Oh, really?
But that was something that was... Something they'd taken the body off of, and they just put double wheels on it or something down around Yuma, Arizona, in the
mm-hmm.
And those were dune buggies, but they were just built by the local people that wanted to get across the sand dunes because there wasn't any road across there back there in those days. And so, but later, the dune buggy became something that was usually referred to as a water pumper, and that means that it was just there wasn't any air-cooled cars around yet. But when the Volkswagen came along, the dune buggy that we see today on the street was what I invented. That
oh.
was a fiberglass body dune buggy.
And, did you work for a car company or something?
No. No, I was a guy off the beach. The dune buggy has several things about it that that is the fiberglass dune buggy, and that we're talking about the Myers Manx dune buggy.
Are dune buggies four-wheel drive vehicles like Jeeps?
No, no, they're usually Volkswagen based.
Really?
Yeah, they get a lot of traction because the weight of the engine is over the driving wheels, and the modern dune buggy was shortened. The Volkswagen chassis were shortened to get the weight of the passengers and the drivers, and the engine transmission all around and over the rear wheels, which gave you all the traction. Of course, the larger tires gave it the flotation. So between the flotation and the extra traction, why? There wasn't very much need for any four-wheel drive. That kind of a dune buggy usually was better than a four-wheel drive out in the sand dunes.
So dune buggies are specialized in order to drive around in the sand on the beaches of sunny Romana, California.
That's right.
Are they made to drive anywhere else? I mean, can you drive them, you know, on the highway and stuff?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm getting at, is that the dune buggy that the people carry on a trailer to go out to the sand dunes is usually called a sand rail. And that thing, no, you can only drive that out in the sand or in the desert.
But, how fast does it go?
Oh, they'll do, they have dragster dune buggies that they'll do 150 or something like that.
Dang, right through a volleyball game.
But they only race for about 100 yards, and they do that in 3 seconds. So they're really quick. But the dune buggy that I was known for is the dual-purpose street dune buggy. When I brought the fiberglass dune buggy kit to the world, that's what brought the thing out of the sand and into the street.
So you're the guy that put all those ads back in TV Guide back in the 60s that said build your own dune buggy?
Well, I was the one that started that crazy stuff, yeah.
What did you do before you were the dune buggy guy?
Well, I was I built fiberglass sailboats, and I did the tooling for such things. That is to say, I did all the lofting and the plugs and the molds which produced the fiberglass sailboats. So I had a lot of expertise in fiberglass. Before that, I'd been a beach boy and a surfer and a lifeguard and a sailor.
You were a beach boy?
Yeah.
Do you know Brian Wilson?
No. Who's Brian Wilson?
You mean, you know Carl Wilson and Love. What was Michael Love? You
no,
sang with those guys.
I'm too old for that.
So you're not, you weren't a beach boy.
Oh.
Were you in Jan and Dean?
You mean the beach boys that sing and play?
You're the one that said I was a beach boy, not me.
Yeah, well, I was around before them.
Were you?
Yeah, well, you know.
Those guys really didn't surf or hang out on the beach, did they?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Not knowing them personally, but because I shaped surfboards back in the 50s, and the first fiberglass used on surfboards, I was one of those people, and some of the oldest surfboard names were my buddies. The dinosaurs of surfing are my old friends, because we're all getting pretty old now. I'm going to be 70 very shortly.
Wow, the guy who invented the dune buggy is 70 years old now.
Well, but I did that 30 years ago.
In case you just tuned in, we're talking to Bruce Myers, the inventor of the contemporary modern-day dune buggy, on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. So if somebody bought one of your dune buggy kits, what did they get?
They got the body, the hood, the dashboard, the windshield, all the hardware, the nuts and bolts, and the headlights. And if you bought the extras, there were such things as roll bars, bumpers, wheels, carpet kit, seats, and all that kind of stuff.
And then what, you had to go pick up your own Volkswagen engine at a junkyard or somewhere?
Well, that kind of a buggy was made from the kit and the Volkswagen. The Volkswagen, you needed the shortened, the chassis, which on a Volkswagen is like a big can. And you can take the body off of a Volkswagen and throw it away and drive what's left.
Right.
And so you can take that, and we sectioned it, shortened it by 14 inches. And that was the common way to build a fiberglass-based dune buggy.
Okay, so you bought a dune bug, so you bought a Volkswagen and also bought a kit.
Yeah. But generally, they were old, junky. Most of them were old wrecks. In those days, they were pretty cheap. And a Volkswagen that was still good, it'd be kind of unlikely. You'd get one that got rolled or bent up somehow and out of the junkyard. And today, you might take a Volkswagen and throw everything away that was a good Volkswagen. But then, they were still pretty expensive. So mm-hmm. they used the ones that were pretty horrible. So that started an industry that today there's the last count there's over 200 companies that made the fiberglass dune buggy.
So what is the Baja 1000?
The Baja 1000 was the very first off-road race that started the whole business of off-road racing.
When did it first happen?
The first race was in 1967, November. Before that race, there was a period of 4 or 5 years that there was elapsed time records were set by individuals that just went down there and said, I'm going to beat that other guy. And the way they did that was they'd get the tourism department to verify their run. And they'd do that with a radio message from one end of Baja to the other that you're leaving now, and you'd come into the other end and they'd verify the arrival of the guy, and so those were elapsed time records. The very first records were done on motorcycles, and they set a record of about 40 hours. 4 years later, some more motorcycles tried again with the same riders, and they only beat themselves by something like 8 minutes. There was an automobile of Myers Manx dune buggy, which set the very first record for a car, but that was something like 80 hours. So they didn't win anything, but they at least started by setting a record for a car. Then myself and a friend of mine, Ted Mangles, we decided that we could take a Myers Manx and beat the motorcycles, and so we did. And the motorcycle record was lowered by 6 hours, down to about 30 hours. Then along came several other people tried in four-wheel drives of various kinds. There was some Jeeps, and there was Toyota Land Cruisers, and then finally a Nash Rambler beat our record.
Wow.
So they did it 30 hours flat, and they beat us by a couple of hours. But right about that time, that was November 1967, we started the organization called National Off-Road Racing Association. That's NORA. That was the first off-road racing group, and I was one of the guys in that. We had the very first organized Baja 1000, which was called the Mexican 1000 those days. And there was a team of my cars, of five cars, and we won the race and came in second place car and set the first record for the Baja 1000.
This sounds like more fun than the Cannonball Run.
Well, the Cannonball Run was put on by a friend of mine, Brock Yates, who was a magazine writer for... I believe he was from Car and Driver in New York City. He was the guy that started that up. But that was patterned after an old race that was back in my father's day in the 20s and in the around the First World War. They had people driving across country, and there was a guy by the name of Cannonball Baker that set one of those records. And that was kind of amazing because they didn't have any roads except mud. And yet they made it all the way across the country in those cars, and they were doing 3,000 miles. I mean, here, the Baja 1000 is only 1,000 miles. So I think they were tougher guys than these guys with the Baja 1000.
Do you still race today, or are you past that age?
No, after the second Baja, or the Mexican 1000, I was leading the race when I crashed and broke my leg and wound up in the hospital pretty badly, so I gave it up. Decided that I'd rather just watch, and that was the last of my racing. After that, Parnelli Jones got to be very strong in that. He started winning all those races, but he was financed by the Ford Motor Company, and they were driving Broncos. And the Broncos were only two-wheel drive, however. They learned that the four-wheel drive really got in their way. It wasn't necessary, and it was heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the winning cars today are the big trucks. They're called the trophy trucks, and they're all two-wheel drive.
That's why they call them trophy trucks.
Because they're so powerful and they're unlimited. Because
they win the trophies.
Yeah, man.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Bruce Myers.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Later.
We just talked to Bruce Myers, the inventor of the modern-day dune buggy. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. 749-1444. Rob, have you ever taken a drive on a dune buggy?
I always heard those fiberglass things. They were okay, but if you ever hit anything, poof, the whole thing was gone.
Poof.
Just like, you know...
And if you rolled over in one and the top was down...
you don't even think about that.
It was all over.
But the old Corvettes, you know, some of the Corvettes had a fiberglass body.
Really?
And you'd hit, you know, you'd have a fender bender. The fender bender would just be enormous.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Now, Bob Dole won all the states today. I don't have a list of the states, but there's like a whole skedillion of them. And Bob Dole got all the states today. I'm going to tell you exactly what he got. 174 of the 208 delegates. Now, what does that mean to you and me?
Means he got a lot of votes.
Dole is certain to have won at least 174 of the 208 delegates that were at stake in today's primaries. That will give him more than a quarter of the 996 delegates that Mr. Dole needs to wrap up the Republican presidential nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is going to be Dole's running mate?
I have no idea. Let's talk to Kim on line one. Kim, you're... Kim bailed.
Kim bailed.
Went through the phone. Jim, where you at?
We'll be right back. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444, with the Beach Boys.
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down. It happened on the strip where the road is wide. Two cool shorts standing side by side. Yeah, a fuel injected Stingray and a 413. Revving up their engines and it sounds real mean. Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down. Here we go. Superstar dart is whining out in low, but my fuel injector steamer is really starting to go. To get the traction, I'm riding the clutch. My pressure plate is burning, that machine's too much.
Again, Rob. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we consist of
the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Or rather, I should say that the
Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show
consists of
us.
I'm Chris.
Exactly. And I'm Rob.
So now you know us. That's who we are. Should we tell them a little bit more about us?
No, let's just take a call.
Okay, well, let me tell them this much.
Go ahead.
I'm an Aries.
Steve, what's up?
Oh, boy, I'm an Aries, too.
Oh, cool. You must be an all right dude, then.
When's that, April? Birthday in April?
Birthday in April.
It's last half of March and first half of April.
There you go.
So from one Aries to another, welcome to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Hey, thank you.
What's on your mind tonight, Steve?
You know, I fit the profile of an Aries, too. It's amazing. I don't believe it.
What is the profile of an Aries?
Good finisher, bad ender, very impulsive, very emotional.
What? Emotional? Not us.
What are you on the Chinese horoscope? Are you a rat or a snake or a bear?
I don't know. I've never looked that up.
Well, go to a Chinese restaurant, find out, and call us back next week. So what's on your mind tonight?
You know, the first album I ever bought, I bought a new hi-fi at Steinberg's.
Steinberg's!
And I Spirit of America album by Beach Boys, and I listened to that song probably 500 times.
You're showing your age now, Steve. How old were you when you bought it?
I was pretty young. I think I was 11.
One.
11? That would make you, I'm going to tell you how old you are now. If you were 11 when the Beach Boys' first album came out, that would make you about 75 years old now.
You know,
that's all they are.
They come out with a record, and then they don't take it off the shelf like a year after it comes out.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They hang out on the shelves there for a while, Chris.
They clip off the corners, and then it's all cheaper. So. Oh, Dole.
Dole.
Isn't Dole a creep?
Dole.
If he's elected, he's going to be the most boring president we've ever had. I don't know.
But at least he fits the right age of a good Republican going back to the Reagan years. I mean, the guy's old. He's going to, what's that thing called when you forget everything?
Alzheimer's.
He's going to have Alzheimer's 2 years in office if he doesn't already have it now.
Reagan was all right for his age. Reagan was young for his age.
At least Ronald Reagan liked a good movie now and then. It seems like Mr. Dole.
He'd ride horses. I don't think if Dole rode.
I don't think Mr. Dole cares for Hollywood movies.
I think if Dole rode that little mechanical pony out in front of Walmart, it'd probably buck him off.
Did you say Walmart?
Yeah.
Walmart might be a topic later on in tonight's Chris and Ronald.
But it's very doubtful.
You don't want to talk about Walmart?
No.
Why not?
If I'd have brought that in 4 months ago when it happened, you would have said, who the hell cares about this? And thrown it away.
But now that a big story is breaking in
Walmart. It's not
a
big story.
It's a huge story.
That's an old story. It's an extremely old story.
It's a huge
story. That's like a Christmas time story.
I want to hear it. You guys are always on the leading edge.
Okay. This is dragging us down. This is taking us off the cutting edge.
Stay tuned, Steve. We'll get into it in a little bit.
All right, that sounds good. I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping Forbes would win because I'm into trendsetters and nobody has ever bought an election before. And I was kind of hoping to see that.
Do you think it would be a good idea if Steve Forbes spent his entire family fortune on the election and won?
Yes.
You think that would be the successful story of the American dream?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, look at the New York Yankees. Look what George Steinbrenner did. After he got embarrassed by the Reds in 76, he went out and bought a World Series. I mean,
there you go.
That's the American way.
The 49ers bought a World Championship. Yeah. The Cowboys bought a World Championship.
And you know, the neat way they did it, they put on a salary cap to stop everybody else from spending money, and then they went ahead and violated the salary cap anyway.
All right. They called signing bonuses. I have a question for you, though, Steve. What's wrong with the boring president?
While we're talking about buying elections and buying World Series, when can Chris and Rob buy the Chris and Rob Satellite Network? Chris and Rob Coast to Coast.
I don't want that to happen.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I'll get rich that way. We'll get celebrity endorsements, and we'll open our own restaurant and stuff.
Once money gets involved, it'll ruin you. It's happened to better men than you.
Has it?
Yeah.
But I still want to know what's wrong with the boring president.
Oh, I don't know. It's nice to have somebody. It's like you can't pick on somebody that's such an easy target.
A boring president is an effective president.
Oh, true, but, you know, I'm more interested in reading editorial cartoons.
You know, Reagan wasn't boring, and he was just, you know, and he was surrounded by a bunch of crooks.
Oh, his cabinet was terrible.
Bush was one of those big crooks.
No.
And Clinton's not boring, and he's surrounded by crooks.
Clinton's a crook, and he's surrounded by crooks. He's in his own element. I think Reagan didn't know they were all crooks.
Oh, bull. You don't think Reagan was that stupid, do you? So either Reagan was stupid, or he was a crook.
He slept a lot, too.
Ronald Reagan slept a lot.
While things were happening, Ronald was taking a nap.
Reagan and Casey and Haig and all those boys were doing everything behind his back.
Well, he knew about it, I think. He was a crook.
Thanks for your call, Steve.
All right, later, Steve.
Call us next week, Steve. We like you. You're a free thinker. You think for yourself. And you don't like a boring president, so you must be okay. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. 749-1444 is the phone number. Here's a story from Pensacola, Florida. Scott Plumley, a native citizen resident of Pensacola, Florida, spotted some people in his neighborhood who were dealing drugs. So he decided to do something about it.
Now, Chris, first of all, you don't say people dealing drugs. You say scum.
Okay. Scum. Scott Plumley noticed there were some scum in his neighborhood dealing drugs. So he decided to do something about it. He called the local Pensacola, Florida sheriff's
office. You don't just say scum. You say dirty, low-life,
good-for-nothing.
Good for nothing.
So old Scott Plumley called the Pensacola Sheriff's Department, but they told him that he'd have to have proof that the drugs were being dealt in his neighborhood before they'd come out and take a look. So old Scott Plumley went and bought a $4 bag of marijuana. I don't know how much pot you can get for $4. But he got it, and he had this $4 bag of marijuana. So he called the sheriff's office back to say that he had some proof that some drugs were being dealt in his neighborhood, and he had bought a bag of marijuana for $4, and the cops came and arrested Scott Plumlee for possession of marijuana.
Possession of marijuana.
Yeah, who we got up there? Okay, yeah, he knows we're calling. We're going to call a guy here. Who we calling? We're calling Roger Leisner of Radio Free Maine. Here we go.
Hello, Roger. Turn me on. Or do I not need to be a turn?
Yeah, okay, here we go. On.
Roger Leisner.
Yes.
You're with Radio Free Maine.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WAIF Cincinnati.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are
the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Now, what in the hell is Radio Free Maine?
The conspiracy.
I knew it.
Indicted soon, but if I'm not, I will surrender.
Amen, brother.
Wait, are you saying that we have a conspiracy right here on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show?
Well, you know what, gentlemen? I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
Tell him, Rog. Tell him, Tom.
Radio Free Maine. What is Radio
I think you've had a bottle in front of you tonight.
Well, I wish I did, but you know, the way it is out here in Maine, the
you're
only
goofy
thing
on pain pills.
Maple syrup.
Okay.
Hey, Roger.
Yes?
A ham and cheese sandwich walked into a bar and ordered a beer, and the bartender said, I'm sorry, but we don't serve food here.
Oh, really? Not too bad.
Tell that one to Gnome.
Keep a skunk from smelling?
You keep a skunk from smelling, put a clothespin on his nose.
You got it.
So is this what Radio Free Maine is? A big, heavy-duty Radio Free comedy network where you tell lots of good old jokes?
Newt Gingrich walks into a bar, and he's got a frog on the top of his head. The bartender says, my God, what's that? Frog says, well, it started out as a pimple on my ass.
All right, okay. What is Radio Free Maine?
I tape the left, up and down the East Coast.
What's the left?
Well, the left is everybody that's marginalized out of our regular media.
Such
people
as?
People like Noam Chomsky, Howard Zinn, Angela Davis, Judy Norsigian.
Who are all these people? Noam Chomsky and Howard Zinn and Judy Norsigian and everybody.
Okay. Well, Judy Norsigian is a very interesting woman. In fact, she is one of the co-authors of Our Bodies Ourselves. And that book will celebrate its 25th anniversary this coming Friday night. It's been published in over 73 languages, and it's probably one of the greatest organizing tools ever created. It has been, in fact, when they had the conference in Beijing last year, it was one book that almost every participant there at the women's conference had either read or had used at one time or another.
Okay,
I'm sorry?
All right, so Noam Chomsky.
Okay, Noam Chomsky. Professor of linguistics at Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
What is so left about Noam Chomsky? This is a loaded question, by the way. I know you have an answer prepared for us.
Okay, he's a dissident.
A what again?
A dissident.
What's a dissident?
Well, a dissident is somebody that stands there when everybody is running around and screaming and saying, oh my God, they're blowing up buses in Israel. It's terrorists and everything like that. And, you know, somebody has to stop and say, well, wait a minute. Isn't Palestine still occupied by Israel? And if Jewish terrorists were going around blowing up German buses in Warsaw in 1943, would they be treated as villains or as heroes?
And so that's dissident?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, we're spelling this out for the lowest common denominator, which we know is tuned in tonight.
Okay, it's somebody that says, hey, 5 years ago, we went in and invaded Kuwait and Iraq. And we were fighting for democracy. And at that time, we were told that the reason we were doing this is because one day Kuwait was going to have free elections and establish a democracy. Now, and also we were going to get rid of Saddam Hussein in Iraq. 5 years later, we still have a monarchy in Kuwait, and Saddam Hussein is still in power.
Well, you know, the objective of that Operation Desert, whatever it was not to necessarily to do anything about Saddam Hussein, but it was merely to liberate Kuwait from the evil clutches of Saddam's empire.
And now we put it back into the evil clutches of the monarchy. And aren't we Americans? And you know what Americans think of kings and queens?
What?
They look pretty good with their heads lopped off.
were naked in the pages of the National Enquirer with,
that's true,
with her royal bosom hanging out everywhere.
That's right. But it's really sad that a democracy goes around helping out monarchs, isn't it?
I think so. So you got these guys.
Wait a minute.
What?
Great Britain's
what?
Monarchy.
What? No, they're
call,
not.
What do you call Queen Elizabeth and Prince Charles and Princess Diana?
You mean those limeys that used to run this country?
Yeah, those guys.
Well, we don't cotton to them. In fact, if you pick up British newspapers, you'll see there's a real drive now in England to establish a republic. And there's two major newspapers over there, The Observer and The Independent. In fact, The Independent's been running a whole series.
What about The Economist?
Huh?
What about The Economist?
I'm not familiar with what they're saying.
It's like
at
the London
time.
Economist.
I don't read them. I don't read the London Times nor The Economist. I read The Independent and The Observer. Those are basically working class newspapers.
What do you think of Lyndon LaRouche? Is he a dissident?
Not really.
Well, who is he? Give us a little background on who is this fellow who calls himself Lyndon LaRouche.
I really don't know that much about him. I don't subscribe to his theories. I think he's too much of a conspiracist. The only conspiracy I've ever seen in the world is that of capitalism, which says that 10% of the people shall dominate 90% of the people. And I've always felt that 90% of the people should dominate those 10%.
Okay, so big deal. You got your left-wingers floating up and down the East Coast, and you're taping them, and then what? Big deal. You go around and you tape a speech by Noam Chomsky or Howard Zinn. Then what,
right,
play
or else I tape somebody like Andrew Zimbalist Jr., who put out a book about 2 years ago, Baseball and Billions, where he talks about the whole sports industry in this country and why it should be socialized. And here's a good example of that. Why are the Green Bay Packers still in Green Bay?
Because they're owned by the city. Hey, we're in Cincinnati, baby. We know all about town. Teams getting ready to leave.
That's right. And just think, if some of our sports teams were owned by communities instead of by, you know, just a few rich people. In fact, the guy that owns the Philadelphia Phillies, who runs around screaming all the time how he doesn't have enough
money
for his team and so on.
Is that Giles? Bill Giles?
Yeah, 1 year dropped $8 million alone just on gambling. You know, and that's $8 million that could have gone into a sports program for the kids in that city.
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to think about that stuff because it's his money. He can do with it whatever he wants to.
That's right, and it should be the community's money.
And he works
Green Bay. They put on a damn good football team, don't they?
They sure did this year.
In case you just tuned in.
That's right, and they have in the past. May
hold
I
on
remind
a second.
You of Vince Lombardi.
Slow down here, Roger. In case you just tuned in, Roger Dodger, old codger. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're talking to Roger Leisner of Radio Free Maine.
Okay, so you make a tape of Noam Chomsky or F. Rom Zimbalist Jr.
I also made tapes of Nina Hartley.
The porn queen?
Yes.
What does she talk about?
Well, you know, Nina's a socialist. Nina's grandfather was one of the first civil rights activists, a white guy, in Alabama back in the 1920s.
I bet he was popular.
Oh, he was. Actually, you know, I'll digress on that later, but for right now, Nina Hartley shows up every once in a while at a thing called the Socialist Scholars Conference in New York City. That's usually the first weekend in April.
Does she ever show up at the Screw Magazine Awards?
Well, she probably shows up at that, too. But that's the only conference I go to where they have a really good workshop on sex. Not sexist behavior, not sexism, but good old pursuit of happiness sex.
You mean like the old In-N-Out?
Yes, the old In-N-Out, up and down, left and right, in any way you want to
do. Doggy style, 69!
But she usually talks about our right to pornography, our right to sex,
our right
to
copulate.
To make whoopee, which is something that, you know, the only group that's worse than the right talking about sex is the left. And so,
well, you know, when it comes to sex, I like a little on the left and a little on the right.
I do too. It's pursuit of happiness.
So you're talking about like Catherine McKinnon, these feminists who want to get rid of pornography, because they say the First Amendment's overrated.
Right. At the last year's Socialist Scholars Conference, one of the workshops dealt with that whole thing, and Catherine McKinnon and Andrea Dworkin finally got their law passed up in Canada. And, of course, the first thing that happened was that not Playboy or what's the Larry Flint?
Screw! Hustler!
Hustler magazine.
Jet. Hooters.
Larry Flint's from Ohio, not, you know.
They were not censored, but rather that beautiful lesbian magazine On Our Backs. Have you gentlemen ever read or looked at On Our Backs?
Not last week or two.
Far better than Playboy, Hustler, or anything like that. That is quality stuff.
Now, Roger Leisner of Radio Free Maine. Roger, is this Radio Free Maine thing all about just so you can look at more dirty magazines?
Yes, sir. Pursuit of happiness.
So what do you do with the tapes is what we're trying to get to, kind
of. Do you have any really good tapes of the Grateful Dead, like back before Pigpen died?
No, I don't. I just have them when they were up here in Maine on three different occasions.
What about Pat Buchanan? Do you have any good Radio Free Maine tapes and speeches by Pat Buchanan?
I was going to try to take him Friday night up here in Maine, but there was a big snowstorm, and I wasn't able to get down to Portland. I do have Newt Gingrich from last June. He came up here to Maine and spoke to a Republican fundraiser. All the rest of the press was kicked out of the room when he started to speak, but because I had connections, I was allowed to stay in and tape it.
What are your connections, sir?
Where he talks about class warfare against the poor.
So kind of a know your enemy type thing.
Huh?
Sort of a know your enemy type thing.
That's right. I have taped like ex-CIA people, pretending like I was a good right winger. Got some good stuff there. I believe that you should go anywhere with your tape recorder and get that information. But what I do is after I tape these folks,
okay,
I send it out to radio stations and hopefully they play it over the air. People listen to it, they like the tapes, they buy the tapes from me, and that keeps my business going.
But if somebody wants like a catalog or a listing of all your tapes, is one available?
Yes, it is.
Well, how can one go about getting such a catalog or listing?
There are three ways you can do it.
Please tell us, Roger Leisner of Radio Free Maine.
Is one of them psychic?
Yes.
Okay.
You got it. Oh, how? That's right. What you do is you visualize Dionne Warwick, okay? And you do that
on her back,
and who knows, the tape may pop up not only in your hands, but maybe inside your pants. Okay, now, the second way is to write to me, Roger Leisner, L-E-I-S-N-E-R, Post Office Box 2705, Augusta, Maine, 04338. The other way is that I'm also on the World Wide Web under Howard Zinn and Noam Chomsky. That's on the dear
old
internet.
Like those guys are your buddies?
And as Lydia Lunch once said, gee, if computers are going to make us free, don't you think they'd make them illegal?
Now, do you like sit around with Howard Zinn and Noam Chomsky and like read dirty magazines and smoke dope and stuff?
No, they don't do that sort of stuff. But I do sit around with Howard Zinn every once in a while. We talk about this nation's great history.
Hey, get us Howard Zinn on the show. How do we get a hold of him?
I will relay the message to Howard.
Cool. Okay, so how do you go about getting a listing of all your tapes?
Okay, you write to me, Roger Leisner, or you can call area code 207-622-6629.
Oh, okay.
Now, what do you guys do?
We do this talk show here at WAAF, which is a community radio station in Cincinnati, Ohio. Sunny, romantic Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah,
you sent us a couple of your tapes.
That's a suburb of Oxford, Ohio, isn't it?
A little bit south of... I work in Oxford, Ohio, actually.
Oh, you do? Yes, I remember. There's a state institution there, right?
There's a Miami University known as the Harvard of the Midwest.
Oh, no kidding. So a lot of suicides and murders going on there, too?
P.J. O'Rourke went to Miami University. I'm sure somebody else did, too, but I can't think of anybody.
So,
Harris Parzegan.
Hey, what happened in the primaries today? What do you think about that whole Republican race?
Well, I just feel so bad for Alan Keyes. That's what I feel sorry for.
Why? Because he got arrested trying to bust into the debate?
I wish Lamar Alexander out and down there in Georgia, but, you know, poor old Alan Keyes, he's trying his best there, and he's not getting anywhere. And, of course, you know, a great story about Bob Dole. Bob Dole owes his life to anarchist and communist.
Oh, yeah.
How's that?
Well, he was wounded in Italy during the war.
Almost
died.
And the last week of the war.
The people that rescued him were the anarchist and communist fighters, resistance fighters from Bologna. Now, Bologna is a big anarchist communist town.
in Italy. In fact, every rooftop in the city is painted red. And even to this day, they still have posters of Bob Dole throughout the community, because they, they see him as one of their liberators. But there's just no doubt about it that Bob Dole owes his life to those anarchists and communists.
But he's a pretty moderate type guy, I think.
He sort of reminds me of Ed Muskie.
He doesn't like good movies either.
No, well.
Oh, you think he's going to break down and cry?
That's a good point. Yes, the Ed Muskie let's break down and cry thing.
Hey, you know Pat Schroeder?
Pat Schroeder.
Patricia Schroeder?
Congressperson from Colorado, right?
Yeah, she's from my hometown.
Is she really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, do you know who one of my favorite fans is?
Who?
Grandpa from the Munsters.
Al Lewis?
Al Lewis.
What's so great about Grandpa? I never did like that show.
Oh, Al Lewis is a grand old man. He was blacklisted back in the 50s. And how he got around that is he went on to radio and did like a whole bunch of different voices, and his name would never be mentioned over the air, and so he could get the work in. But he's 86 years old, and I wouldn't dare trust your girlfriend in the same room with him. She'd wind up running away with him.
So Roger Leisner, Radio Free Maine, you go around, you tape people like Noam Chomsky, Howard Zinn, Ralph Nader.
Bobby Seale.
Bobby Seale. What about the guy that's real sick now?
Okay, who would that be?
One of those Black Panther guys that just got real sick. He's in the hospital.
I really
Cleaver. He's got an Islamic name now.
Eldridge Cleaver?
I think, yeah.
No, I haven't taped him.
I did tape
his ex-wife, Kathleen Neal Cleaver.
Woo.
She's a lawyer now.
So you tape these left-wing dissidents, and then you make the tapes available to the public and to radio stations. And if someone wants a catalog of the tapes available from Radio Free Maine, they should call 207-622-6629.
You got it, son.
And somebody can actually hear the legendary Noam Chomsky on their very own audio cassette.
Yep, and by the way, one of my other fans is Dr. Demento.
Well, he's great.
He is, but he just ordered a couple of tapes for me, and then in exchange he gave me a couple of the basement tapes.
You have some Weird Al stuff?
Actually, Weird Al, I sort of like him, but I like the stuff like I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than in front of a lobotomy.
Yeah.
What's his name? Freddie Vassley, Pencil Neck Geeks. Yeah, things like that.
Do you need some tapes of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show?
Hey, I would love to receive some tapes from you guys.
We'll send you some. You'll get some.
Okay, great.
Well, thanks. Roger Leisner of Radio Free Maine. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us here
I forgot to mention the most important thing that happened.
What?
Radio Free Maine got reviewed in Playboy magazine.
That was very cool.
In the May issue of Playboy magazine of last year, they decided to review a spoken word tape, so they reviewed one of my tapes.
One of Noam Chomsky's.
Then they put me in the rock meter, and five judges on a scale of 1 to 10 gave me 3 8s and 2 10s. And poor Eric Clapton and Marianne Faithfull, I just wiped them right out.
Okay, yeah, there's one more point I was wanting to bring. Now, isn't a compilation record being put together about Noam Chomsky with R.E.M. and some other heavy hitters?
Yes. Don Was, the Hollywood rock producer, is doing a benefit album for Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And what he's doing is he's taken my recordings of Chomsky, sampled Chomsky's voice and his key sayings, and is sending that out to musicians to write music around, and that'll be the songs on the album. Now, the group by the name of X, which is a heavy metal punk group from the Los Angeles area, has already submitted a song.
They've already done a song?
Huh?
They've already done a song?
Yep. We are the domestic enemy. Chomsky starts out talking about how we are the domestic enemy. The music comes up, the background vocals come on, and all of a sudden you're dancing the Chomsky. Amongst the other people that... in fact, tonight I just got contacted by... about a half an hour before you called, one of the guys from Rage Against the Machine contacted me and wanted some tapes because they're going to do a song for this album.
Cool.
Tom Morello, have you heard of Rage Against the Machine?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, Tom Morello was the guy that went back to Harvard, and now he's back out in Los Angeles, and they're cutting a new album, and they're going to put a song on there. REM's going to put a song on. Pearl Jam. Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy are going to do a comeback, you know, reuniting to put a song out. Live and Collective Soul are doing some cuts for the album.
Should be big.
Yeah, yeah. It looks really good.
Well, call Timothy Leary and see if you can't talk to Al Jorgensen of Ministry. They hang out together.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that, because Jorgensen is one of the guys that we're going to try to contact.
Go for it.
And, you know, I've got to say that the cover that they recently did of Lay Lady Lay is the most interesting cover I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, that's pretty nuts.
That's on Filth Pig, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's the new one. All right, thanks a lot, Roger Leisner of Radio Free Maine, 207-622-6629. I'm sure you'll be flooded with calls from the Queen City.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Later.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
You know the only thing wrong with those left-wing guys?
What's that?
They can't say anything in 3 words if they can say it in 50 words.
That's right.
We got a song, I hope?
Yeah, tomorrow is Wednesday, and Wednesday
Today's
night...
Today is Wednesday.
If you go to bed after the show, then tomorrow will be Wednesday to your perception. Wednesday night at 10 o'clock p.m. on WAIF, that's the station you're listening to right now, is when WIF broadcasts that All Frank Zappa show. It's called Poodle Bites, and your friend Rick will be in here hanging out playing you some Frank Zappa music. So, he'll play lots of cool music by Frank.
Why isn't Time Machine on?
What?
Why isn't Time Machine on?
Wednesday night at 10.
Why isn't Hometown Hi-Fi on?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
Frank Zappa's not from Cincinnati, is he?
No, it's tomorrow night sometime. Look up
Wednesday.
There. It's up there Wednesday sometime.
Judaism. German Tunes, Time Machine, Hometown High Five.
It's tomorrow night sometime, okay?
Art Damage, is he doing it instead of Art Damage?
No, he's doing it tomorrow night. It's like 10 or something.
That's Hometown High Fi.
Yeah, that's it.
Frank Zappa's not from Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
No.
You're splitting hairs. All I know is it's tomorrow night at 10. It's Wednesday night at 10.
Where's Hometown High Fi?
I don't know. It's tomorrow night at 10.
Frank Zappa's not from Cincinnati.
Shut up, Rob. 749-1444.
And escaping from your mouth, the hair escaping from your nose, my heart escaping from the scraping and the shaping of the draping. I'm freezing.
Frank Zappa with Air from the album Uncle Meat. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and the phone number is 749-1444. That phone number, once again, is 749-1444. We welcome your calls on tonight's program.
Disaster strikes in this country every single day, which means every single night someone needs food, shelter, and a place to rest. Please support the American Red Cross. Call 1-800-842-2200. And, you know, you can hear the rhythmic sounds of Bob Marley and other reggae bands hailing from the island of Jamaica. Every Thursday night from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. on Rhythm Come Forward.
That's overnight Thursdays, Friday morning.
Right here on your link with the islands, WAIF Cincinnati.
You got to admit that WAIF is Cincinnati's link with the islands. Because, I mean, what other radio station in town broadcasts island music? None. You can't think of one, can you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, our last caller, Roger Leisner from Radio Free Maine, seemed to have a fixation on pornography and, in particular, Playboy magazine. Well, Kelsey Grammer's new fiancé, her name is Tammy Alexander, and she will be in Playboy next month, completely and absolutely nude and naked. This Tammy Alexander posed in Playboy in 1990,
woohoo,
before Kelsey Grammer even knew who she was, and now that she's marrying a big-time television celebrity, Playboy decided to run those nude pictures in the April issue. So, Kelsey, we're all going to see your new girlfriend, your new wife, naked. Everybody's going to see. Rob, how would you like it if you were going to marry somebody and all of a sudden everybody in the world could see her naked?
I'd like that.
You probably would.
I'd just like to see anybody naked.
And here's something else that I saw in the news that caught my attention.
What's that?
David Copperfield, you know that famous magician guy?
He
just bought the Batmobile so he could take Claudia Schiffer out on a date.
Wow, isn't that nice?
He bought the original car that was used in the original Batman TV movie. It was the movie made for TV.
The Adam West one?
Yeah, Adam West Batman. When Adam West was Batman, the Adam West Batmobile.
I thought he bought the Batmobile from the 89 movie with Michael Keaton.
You know how much it was?
$119,000.
Not close. It was $189,500.
Chump change to old Dave.
David Copperfield's loaded, though.
International folk dancers meet at the University YMCA located at 270 Calhoun Street in Clifton. Meetings are held every Saturday from 8:15 until 11 p.m. You need more info, call 631-8830. International folk dancers could be a good place to go pick up chicks, Chris.
Check it out.
International folk dancers at the Y on Calhoun Street, Saturday, 8:15 to 11. They meet there every Saturday.
Cool, let's go.
That is an artistic public service announcement.
And here's Tri-State weather on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Overnight tonight, periods of rain with a chance of thunderstorms. Rain may be heavy at times and especially late this morning. Low in the mid-40s. Southwest winds will be around 10 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And today, being Wednesday, periods of rain and a chance of thunderstorms. Rain may be heavy at times with a high of 55 to 60. South winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Not quite kite flying weather, but it's still a little gusty there. The chance of rain is 80%. And tonight, being Wednesday night, occasional rain. The rain could become mixed with a little freezing rain by morning, that being Thursday morning, with a low of 30 to 35. The chance of precipitation is near 100%. And the extended forecast for Thursday, turning cold with rain changing to snow. A high in the mid-30s, and the chance of precipitation is still 80%. And currently in the tri-state, it's 54.
At WAIF, Cincinnati.
Do that again, Rob.
Cincinnati. I don't know how to do this one.
We'll just leave that
We have an operating log here. Okay, you'll
leave
do
that for later.
You'll do that one.
Okay.
You'll do that one.
As I said, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're here to keep you company until 2 o'clock in the morning when the old school flavor will show up.
I don't even know how this thing works, man. This thing's so confusing.
I want to announce that next week on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, that's 1 week from tonight at midnight, Rob and I will be talking to Democratic presidential candidate Lyndon LaRouche.
Lyndon LaRouche?
Right here on the little one, WAIF, we'll be talking to Lyndon LaRouche. I'd like to remind you that Lyndon LaRouche is not a libertarian, has never been affiliated with the Libertarian Party.
He's a Democrat. Everybody
That's
knows
right.
that. He's a Democrat. He's a donkey. He's a Democrat. He's part of the party of Jefferson. He is a Democrat.
So after we're done talking to Lyndon LaRouche, we'll talk to a fellow from the Libertarian Party who will set us straight on what the Libertarian Party is and what they stand for. We'll talk to
He's
a guy.
He's part of the party of Roosevelt. He's part of the party of Monroe, Madison. He is a Democrat.
He's part of the party of Jimmy Carter, Edmund Muskie, George McGovern, Adlai Stevenson, Harry S. Truman. He is a Democrat. And he plays hardball Democratic politics. He pulls no punches. He'll tell you about more conspiracies than you can shake a dead cat at.
Okay, this is the Ballad of Easy Rider. You're listening to the Chris
Rob... Charlie Daniels?
Yeah, no, Charlie
Daniels. That's on Easy Rider.
Roger McGuinn.
Oh.
From the Easy Rider soundtrack.
You ever heard Charlie Daniels do the Ballad of the Uneasy Rider?
No, how's that go?
It's like he's driving around and he gets in a fight and he kicks old Green Teeth right in the knee and all that stuff. Yeah. You ever heard it? It's a pretty funny song.
I bet it is. Well, this is the original Easy Rider. 749-1444, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Nice, wow.
There's a motorcycle in there somewhere.
Okay.
Can you hear that motorcycle?
No. Turn it up. Is that Freedom Rock?
It is Freedom
Rock.
Well,
crank it up, dude.
Okay, dude. I wish the temperature was 69.
We're dying a slow death without Jim.
I'm going to kill him.
Jim is the glue that holds together the Chris and Rob fabric.
Kevin, if you're tuned in, stop by on your way home.
River goes, that's where I want to be. Flow, river, flow, let your waters wash down, take me from this road to some other town. All he wanted was to be free, and that's the way it turned out to be. Flow, river, flow, let your waters wash down, take me from this road to some other town. Go, river, go, past the shady tree. Flow, river, flow, flow to the sea. Flow, river, flow, flow to the sea.
A little Uneasy Rider is a better song.
That's good, Rob.
Because Uneasy Rider, he's like, but man, this thing, every time I move the radio, it's like, it's freaking
this
out back here.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris, and he's Rob.
I'm getting mad.
And he's mad,
it's
too.
Like, because I have this electromagnetic energy pulsing throughout my corpuscles, the red and white bloodstream cells, and every time I move, the monitors freak out in here. And it's hard to do a show when you're... You hear that?
Yeah.
When you're as statically as charged as I am, man.
Are you statically charged?
You just did it again.
You're ecstatic, aren't you?
I'm so... You know what? It was probably this punch. 44 ounces of Thriftway punch, or, UD punch, and you're fired up, ready to do a talk show. But you know what made me mad in the news this week?
Tell me, Rob, what made you mad in the news this week?
In Michigan, they had some law. Some horrible, god-awful, cockamamie law. This guy, a normal guy, a normal, horny, perverted, typical, run-of-the-mill freak guy. He's married, has a wife, takes his car that he owns with his wife, damn it, drives downtown, picks himself up a professional entertainer. And then, he gets arrested, they take his car. He says, you can't take my car. It's half my wife's car. They take his car. They appeal. They say, yeah, you can take his car. They appeal again. Yeah, they take his car. They appeal to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court of the country says it's okay to take somebody's car for picking up a prostitute with it. That, and even if the person doesn't even own that car all the way. Well, you know, that law is just going to be every time somebody breaks any kind of law, you'll have a kid ride his moped to Kmart, get caught shoplifting a tube of lipstick, and he'll take his moped because he says he used that moped in part to assist in committing the crime.
Are you getting all this, Seg?
I think so.
Okay, continue, Rob. What are your feelings on this matter, Seg?
I say the kid ought to shop at Walmart.
I told you Walmart was going to be a big issue today.
Walmart is a non-issue.
Oh, sorry.
What made you bring up Walmart tonight, Seg?
Because I went there today shopping out in Westchester.
Did they have any T-shirts there that had?
That's a new Walmart.
Did they have?
No, they got everything.
Did they have the Margaret from Dennis the Menace T-shirt, the one that says someday a woman will be president?
No, they didn't have any of those.
Well, what are your thoughts on this new Supreme Court ruling that Rob was just talking about, in which if you commit a crime, the cops can take anything from you, including your car, even if it doesn't belong to you?
I think it's an outrage.
What if you go spit on the sidewalk?
Yeah.
And they come and take your house because they figure you planned the crime while you're in your house?
Well,
I don't think the punishment fits the crime.
I don't.
And you know that fascist Bill Heimlich is trying to bring that into our fair city.
I don't get to see my dog Emma then.
He needs to be put away. He needs to be stopped.
Who?
That fascist Bill Heimlich.
Fascist Phil Heimlich, you guys got to take it easy.
Fascist Phil, he wants to start seizing property that's used.
You guys are sounding like another big radio station in town.
What if?
Huh?
Yeah, you're gonna take a guy's shoes because he walked somewhere to commit the crime, and we all know prostitution's a victimless crime anyway.
Chris, you can't even get a word in edgewise.
No, I can't. It's not easy here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show because Rob is charged tonight with some sort of magnetic energy.
I am so pissed.
He's got some mad magnetic energy coming out of his
ears. The whole tape is just going to be one big
giant listening to. He must have been listening to another voice of the common man tonight.
Well, Rob is the voice of the commonest man, the commoner.
So what are they going to do now if you commit a crime? They can take anything? They can take anything?
Anything that they can substantiate that aided and abetted you in committing that crime. Like Rob said.
What happens if I jaywalk? Will they take Emma?
They will take your dog Emma. They'll take your shoes. They'll take your socks.
No
and they'll
way.
Even take your rotor eaters.
Well, then I don't like that then. I think Phil Heimlich ought to think about doing some, maybe like helping the area on the move get on the move.
Right on. I'm with you there, brother.
Hey, heard any Amish jokes lately?
No.
I know your kind really enjoys making fun of minority groups.
No, I haven't heard any yet. I think we're gonna do a remote from that area of the state coming up.
Pennsylvania, you're gonna do a remote from Pennsylvania. In case you just tuned in, we're talking to Segman Dennison, the spearhead of the sports department at the big one, that big radio station of Matt Adams, WLW.
Hello, Seg, to all the listeners on WAIF.
Seg, lay a little scores on us. You got some scores?
Yeah, Miami won tonight in the Mid-American Conference.
Now, did they beat the Fighting Falcons of Bowling Green?
Yeah, 81-53. They kicked their butt.
Bowling Green is pathetic this year.
Landon Hackham with 29 tonight. The boy was on fire.
Yeah, he slept, walked through the first 7/8 of the season. Now he's caught fire in the last four games.
Toledo, Ball State, and Eastern Michigan also won.
No surprises there.
Northern Illinois won the MCC Championship. Remember that league?
Yeah, I had a lot of money on that game.
They killed Detroit. Valpo is headed to the big show.
Isn't Valpo something that Emma eats?
No, that's Milkbone dog biscuits.
Oh, okay.
And then New Orleans won the Sun Belt.
Oh yeah, any Big Ten scores?
No, they don't play till
spring training.
They don't play till tomorrow night.
I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Does anybody really care about the NFL except for guys that have money on the games?
I think a lot of people do, yes.
What do you think the percentages are? If there are 100 million NFL fans, how many of those 100 million do you think only care about the game if they have money on it? 30?
I'm not sure.
You think 30%?
Probably a little more.
Now, when that guy...
Did you ask him about the Reds and
spring screw the... I can't get into any exhibition sport.
The Reds won yesterday in Plant City 5-3.
When that putts, when that loser, when that low-life
thug... Are you guys going to spring training?
No,
you guys going to take the show on the road?
Hey, Seg.
What?
When that jerk-off J.R. Reed
threw that vicious, malicious elbow at the virginal A.C. Green of the Phoenix Suns.
Knocked two teeth out.
Only got a one-game suspension. Was that the biggest outrage you've ever seen? Okay. That was a wicked, malicious, intentioned act on J.R. Reed's part. It was not an accident in any way, shape, or form. In the NBA, with the gutless commissioner they have, they might as well be like baseball. Suspended him for one game. Didn't that make you just sick to your enormous stomach?
It certainly did because, you know, Albert Bell gets fined $50,000 for yelling at Hannah Storm.
Good for him.
I mean, J.R. knocks a couple of teeth out. He just sits out one game. I think at least he should have paid for the dental insurance.
He should have sat out the rest of the season. That place is that stuff has no place in the NBA. It is not fantastic when you got thugs out there sticking their elbow in other guys' mouths.
You got that? You got a point there, Bozo.
Now, the first time that somebody bloodies Magic Johnson's nose, how many players will be left on the court when he turns around?
It's going to be like mass confusion, first guy to the exit.
It'll
be British. Somebody's going to yell, "Be British, be brave," and it's every man for himself.
It'll be like turning on the light in Chris's kitchen, watching the roaches scatter all over the floor.
Actually, he's got a pretty good kitchen. He's got a lot of Maytag appliances there.
Right on, he got them from the Swallens that went out of business.
I think he got them for nothing because he likes the Maytag.
Because I can go to Steinberg's.
Yeah, he goes to Steinberg's.
Swallens. Okay, say, get to work.
Hey, see you guys and have a nice show. Goodbye.
Lighter.
Here we go. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. 749-1444. That's 749-1444.
Any moment it could turn into the Chris and Rob Skate Party or Dance Hits USA for an hour.
Oh, how would that... Oh, it could. You never know. These things sort of happen under the blue.
They sometimes do just happen.
But we weren't prepared for that tonight. I didn't bring my skate key. So I don't think we can pull it off tonight.
You got that song? I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. You know that song?
Who's it by?
It's not on there. Okay. I don't know. You ever heard that song, though?
It's been a while.
It's like a falsetto voice. Take it live, dude. We have to. Hi, Waif.
Yeah, hey, could you play some Sade for me?
You sure?
Smooth operator?
Yeah, that'll work.
Hey, who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Craig calling from Florence, Kentucky. Just got off work.
Yeah, hey. where do you work at?
I work at Duro Bag.
Yeah, what do you do there?
I'm a machinist.
Really? Are you good at it?
I feel that I am.
What do you make an hour?
I'm sorry?
What do you make an hour?
$9.45.
Are you union?
Yes, sir.
All right.
You got benefits?
Got to have that union wage.
What about benefits? You get benefits and all that?
Fuck no.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Kiss your mom with that mouth, Craig.
I'm sorry?
Kiss your mom with that filthy mouth.
No, my mama lives in Dayton, Ohio.
That's a good place for your mom to live.
Yeah, especially if you're going to be cursing like that.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. We'll see if we can't dig up some Sade.
Okay, everybody.